Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you all for tuning in to Step Into Your Sunshine. This is Rachel Coudron, your host, the owner of Etsy Boutique Coudron's Curiosities and RC Copywriting. Today, I have a special guest with me, and I would love for her to introduce herself.
Hello. So I just want to say thank you for having me today. We have just had a lovely chat and we relate so much. So I'm so glad to be here. So my name is Gemma Holden and I'm also known as Mrs. Mindset. I am a therapist and coach, let's just say that, because if I listed all my qualifications, because I'm a multi-passionate person, we would be here all day. And I basically am here to help women smash through any blocks, any beliefs, or anything that is stopping them step into their own version of success. I am also a mummy of four, and I love cheese and wine. I just wanted to put that in there because I really do.
I'm a wine lover myself. Yeah. Definitely so. So I wanted to ask you, what were some of the defining moments in your life that has shaped who you are?
So I think the first thing that comes to my head and something that I always focus on is the university course that I fell into that has really helped me step into the person that I am today. So that's got to be the number one thing, because I think I've gone through life. I've gone through a very traumatic experience throughout my life, through my very younger years up until that point. And I feel like we was just discussing before, that opportunity arose at the right time. And I remember going to this thing. I've always had this burning desire to help people. In my previous lives as a hairdresser and a childcare worker, I was always the person giving advice or trying to help somebody or make them feel good. I always took to the children that needed that support. I always took to them. And I remember people used to say to me, you should be a therapist, you should be a counsellor. And I was like, no way. But that never left me. So I remember one day I'd left school. I had no GCSEs. I had nothing because I had a lot of stuff going on at home. And I remember saying, I'm going to be a counsellor. So I popped off to university after I got my key skills so I could actually do it. And I remember going to apply for this counselling course and I got it. And I was like, wow, I'm going to be a counsellor. Like, this is amazing. And in all honesty, I was doing it for about a month or so, and it was just not for me. It was boring. I didn't like it. Not that counselling isn't amazing, because it is. But for me, I was like, this isn't lighting me up. And then lo and behold, one of our tutors walked in and actually said, the course is changing. The course is changing. You can either go with it and go to the counselling course, or you can stay here and do counselling with coaching and mentoring. So for me in that moment, I was like, oh, and I'm getting goosebumps now. Like, yes, that was the right thing, because I'm like, I'm going to stay because I don't want to do that. And 3 years I spent on that course, and I learned so much about what was wrong in my life and how I reacted to certain things. And I learned so much about myself that I ended up leaving that course and having a breakdown, because everything had come to the surface and re-triggered. It's like I'd just been given this big bag of everything that was wrong in my life up until this point. And I opened the bag and it was like, whoa. And from that breakdown came a breakthrough, because I then had the tools and the things that I needed to make that change. So that was the key moment, the breakdown for the breakthrough, I think, that made me who I am today.
Wow. And I love how you emphasize the breakdown led to the breakthrough, because yeah. I think that's so important. So many people feel when they're going through a breakdown and it feels like the world is collapsing around you, that there is no place to go, that I'm just going to dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then that activates symptoms like situations where you're depressed or you get highly nervous, you're withdrawn, I want to be alone. You begin to not trust people because you feel like you can't even trust yourself.
Definitely, 100%. And yeah, it's like, if I could describe it at that time, it was a black hole. I was in a black hole. My relationships were non-existent. My marriage wasn't great. Like, we'd just been married for a year, I think it was, and it was the worst. And everything outside of me was falling down. I had an eating disorder. I had depression. I had all of these things.
Mm.
And I felt like there was no way out.
Mm. I think many people can relate to that, actually. That tune in, and myself, I have also been through bouts of depression. And it really felt like when I felt powerless and that everything was around me wrong, and there was just thing after thing after thing after thing that was a hurdle, then it just felt like you got lower and lower and lower and lower, and you become so disempowered. And that is a very dangerous place to be, because if you feel disempowered and you believe that people outside of you have control, or people outside of you or situations outside of you have the control of your life, or have control of the direction that your future is going to take, then that's, you get into a very, very dangerous place. And so I would love for you to expand on the strategies that you use to go from that space to a breakthrough.
So it was actually interesting, and I know that this isn't, people aren't all able to do this, but for me, I'd launched my, so 2016, that was the breakdown, but I'd also just started my new business. So I had a childminding business, and having that something else to focus on really helped me, because it was something new, exciting. I love new and exciting. And it was something I was really passionate about, because I had children, I've worked with children for a long time, and I absolutely loved being that person to inspire, empower, and all of that with the children. But also, I had and still was growing my family, and my why was to be there for my kids, something I never had. And I think that combination of goals, why, passion is what really helped me come out of that. And not the other stuff didn't disappear, but my attention was focused on that. And I was pregnant as well, so it was a lot going on with my third. And I remember I did that. So it was like a new project that kept me focused. And it kind of, I started to forget about the things, and it, the coaching was a bit out of the way. So like, let's just focus on this thing that really helped me. And then obviously with that, it shows, right? It's great for a little bit of time. And it's like, yeah, this is amazing. This is new. This is exciting. But as things start to settle, the old things start to pop up. And it wasn't until 2018, because I was so busy with the business and my three children and my husband worked away, that I remember feeling just so demotivated. And again, them old feelings and habits were coming up. And I remember sitting and thinking, I've lost my passion. I've lost my passion for my business. I'm really struggling with the kids, and I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this. Something has to change. And I remember it was January 2018, and it was a cringy New Year's resolution thing. And it was I'm going to change my life, and I'm the person that can do that. And I just had this shift. I don't know what it was. I think it was the feeling. I can't feel like this anymore. And now I have the tools and strategies, which I was taught at university. I actually set a goal. I'm going to spend 12 months focusing on myself. And when I set that intention and that goal, again, things started to change. Like, the universe must have had this plan. Like, yes, she's ready. And I remember someone contacting me, one of the children or two of the children, and they were going to somewhere. So by them leaving and me not wanting to take any more children on, it didn't make sense for me to keep my business open, because actually I wouldn't have been earning the successful money that I was earning. So that to me was like, it's time to close your business. Like, let's do this. And that's scary for people, and I know people can't do that, but for me, I've been to a place where I've had no food, no electric, no gas. I know that I'm safe, and I've survived, and I will survive again. So for me, it was like, I'm shutting my business. So I took a massive pay cut. I think I went from earning £5,000 a month down to £800 a month, and I was so happy because I had freedom, I had time, and I could do the things I wanted to do. So I started to work on myself, and I started to work on myself by setting goals, and I started to tell myself positive things. I started to change my thoughts. If I could remember a thought come in like, oh, that's not helpful, let's change that, let's reframe that. I started to meditate. I started to eat healthy. I started to really work on the things that I'd been through journaling and meditation and all of these tools. I kind of threw everything at it. And then within 4 months, me doing that consistently for 4 months, I was like a different person. I had never felt this way before. I remember my husband saying to me, wow, you're so happy. And I was like, yeah, I am. And he was like, you're so happy. Like, I can feel it. Like, it's radiating you. Like, you literally. And I was just remembering, I was singing and I was dancing and I was just a different person. I didn't care what other people thought. Negativity, I cut out. I stopped spending time with people. It was like that ripple effect. I lost weight. I lost, my hair grew, like things that haven't happened. It was like magic. It just started to happen. And that was all by me making the intention that I'm going to work on myself and implement everything I'd learned. And that was the day I literally changed my life.
Wow. That is so powerful to listen to hear your passion radiating. Yeah. And wow, that's amazing. And congratulations for really changing your entire life. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to dig down into some of the specific things that you did, because for me, I have some similar experiences in my life. Mm-hmm. Where you set your intention and you're, I can't do this anymore. So you were at a space that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to use this word, that you were desperate. You were like, I can't live this life anymore. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's different as far as mindset versus the things that I chose. And I was at that space with my health in my mid-20s. I began to develop all kinds of weird symptoms, my back hurting, my hips hurting, my knees, and I couldn't even walk up the stairs at my own house because I would be in so much pain. And I taught, I was a teacher as well, but to 8 to 10 year olds. And I taught on the second floor of the school I taught at. And every day I had to use the elevator because it was too painful to walk up the stairs. This is in my mid 20s. And I'm like, okay, something has to change. Yeah. Because I had gone and seen every single doctor that you could imagine, all the specialists. And all they did was kept giving me more and more pills. And it was a moment when I was actually at my friend's house in the morning and I was getting my pills out and I counted, because she was like, wow, you take a lot of pills. I was like, yeah, I have 25 throughout the day that were prescribed. Wow. In my mid-20s, 25 pills that were prescribed. And I made a decision in that moment. I was like, this isn't going to be my life. Like, I am at such a desperate point that I will do whatever it takes to make sure that this is not my future. And for me, just being at that lowest point and being like, I'm done. I'm not going to sink any lower and I have to make changes. And yes, at the time, that's what motivated for me to go on a more alternative route. I started taking supplements. Ultimately, I became vegan, and that was never my intention. It was never my intention to become that way. And if you would have asked me even 5 days before I decided, I would have been like, never. But that it was just, I was so willing to do whatever it took. And it seems like I see that reflected in your story as well, that you were ready and willing to do whatever it took. Whatever, you know, if you needed to journal, you said you threw all the things at it, meditate, all of the skill sets and the strategies you had learned in school, you were like, okay, I'm not going any deeper than this. I'm going to have to do whatever is necessary to move that needle in my life to a different direction.
Yes. So for me, again, it was health. So I remember the reason it was New Year's Day is because we went away. We tend to go away with the kids in a hotel for the weekend. And I remember my husband taking pictures of me, and I was the heaviest I'd ever been. Like, I felt, I'd always in the past struggled with weight, eating disorder, how I saw myself and all of that stuff. And I remember feeling so uncomfortable and heavy and horrible and I guess self-loathing, looking at myself in the mirror and being like, oh, you're a mess, like listening to all of what's been told to me in the past. And I remember having that weekend and I just felt this, whatever I drank or whatever I ate, I just felt like it was adding and adding and adding. And having that feeling was just like, and we spent obviously the weekend, and I say eating normally and drinking and having all of the things. And obviously because of Christmas, so it was an overindulgence time. It was like 2 weeks. I just woke up on January and I was like, I don't want to feel this way anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I had been listening to podcasts and, you know, Tony Robbins was my favorite. And I remember hearing that you can, if you want to change something, something has to change. And I remember my husband, because I was always in that victim mentality. I was like, well, it's not fair because this has happened. And, you know, that's a real place to be in as well for yourself. Like, and I'm not saying, you know, please don't ever feel that's a bad place to be in. But for me, I was constantly excusing myself and I was telling myself like, well, it's OK because you've been through this, or, you know, the old conditioning, you deserve to have a treat, you know, like you deserve to have this. So I was constant. And I just thought, no, that's not getting me anywhere. It's just getting me deeper and deeper depressed and not feeling good. So it was quite maybe an ego thing, actually, where I want to look better. I want to feel amazing. And I've been on a weight loss journey for the rest of my life since I was about 10, I think. And nothing ever worked. And I remember it was just that shift, that decision. I'm going to make this work. But the difference is I didn't just focus on the plan, which was Weight Watchers. I focused on me. So by adding the me to that, that allowed me to be and have better behaviors and habits. But that was the initial, like looking at the pictures of myself, I was just like, no, I'm not having this.
Definitely. Yes. I love how you emphasize mindset here, that you decided what was best for you. You became empowered enough to make that choice and say, I'm going to make a difference.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose different choices to make an ultimate different lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important because I'm also a big Tony Robbins fan. I'm currently reading the book called The Body Keeps the Score. Ooh. And he mentions it as well, yeah. Is that when you find yourself in a disempowered place, whether that's in your health, in your life, in your business, then you become apathetic. And you feel like there is nothing that you can do to impact said situation. And that is the worst case to be in.
Yeah.
In The Body Keeps the Score, he vaguely mentions, because it's not the focus of the book, that when people are given terminal diagnoses,
yes,
that they actually, that should never occur. The doctor should never say you have 2 weeks to live, yeah, or 3 months or 5 weeks, whichever the thing is because people live up to that standard and they become apathetic. They're no longer empowered to make different choices in their lives. And it's astounding the a percentage of people that pass away on that exact day. Is he gave me 3 weeks to live. Well, I'm at 2 weeks and a half. I only have 3 days left.
Yeah.
And it's because you take yourself out of the situation, and so, or doctors, why the things they say to you make you feel like you have no power. And so you take yourself out of the situation. And I think that is really key to what you just said, that you decided to put yourself into the situation, that I was going to make different choices and I'm empowered and I feel empowered and I am confident enough to make the changes that I need to do to change my life.
Definitely. And I think, again, that literally what you just said, it's the perception that we give it. So some people will get that, you know, that diagnosis and they'll be like, right, okay, I've got three on my, and then some people, which sadly, the percentage of the other people that are like, no, I'm not having that, I'm not believing that, is very, very small. And I'm just so grateful to myself that I was in that, you know, no, this is not my life. But I do feel that if I didn't have the right people around me at the time, I might not have made that decision. You know, who knows, who's to say? But I think having someone like my husband and my children to focus on, my husband is very logical, but also he believes that you can achieve anything you set your mind to. So having him at the side of me as well was very much like, yeah, you know, this is helping. Whereas if I had somebody maybe at the side of me like I did previously, which was very like, you will never do anything, you're not good enough, you will always be this way, that would have probably not have helped me get to where I wanted to be. So yeah, definitely.
I totally agree. I think what you're emphasizing right there is the power of environment. The people that you surround yourself with is incredibly important, because for me, and this is going into personal things here in France, but the people around me, when I moved, I didn't know anybody. I still don't speak French fluently. And developing deep relationships with the people around me is actually very, very challenging for me, even though in my normal personality, that's not the case. In language, it's very, very difficult. And it's also difficult to explain, what do I do in my work? What does that look like? What impacts am I making? How do I work with people? And so the people around me in my life, they don't really understand. The people in my everyday life, they don't understand. I know one person that's an entrepreneur in real life around me, and everybody else just is like, she works online, that's probably just like some fad, or it's a side business, or she's, you know, she'll be over it in a couple of years or in a couple of months. And if I only surrounded myself with those people, I feel like I wouldn't be growing in business. I wouldn't be working on opening my third business if I only spent time with them. Yeah. And it's not necessarily their fault. It has a lot to do with language, but they don't understand. And that's the reality for me. And so I've made a lot of effort to surround myself with other entrepreneurs, people that have growth mindsets, people that understand the logistics and the challenges that come with being a mother and a business owner. And when I spend time in that area, I am just on fire. Yeah. Like when I'm interacting with them, I just feel so empowered and uplifted and confident, like, yes, I can do it. And so I think when you were talking, all I could think about is like the power of the environment of who you're with, who do you spend time with? I mean, I know we have the quote and the saying that you become the eighth person of the seven people you spend the most time with. And that is so important. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah. So another key thing that I did was my environment. I literally had a look at, okay, what is going in here? What is going in my mind? And at the time, I remember I was watching, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these, you do you, but I was watching things like in Britain, it was Coronation Street, EastEnders, Coronation Street. So I'd be watching this drama TV, which was constantly reaffirming to me that, you know, men are bad and this is how women are treated and all of this, the relationships are this way. But also, because I'm such an empath and I take on people's energy and all of that, I was constantly listening to drama and people calling each other and she did that, and it was just constantly taking over. But also the news. So what I did was I actually started to cut things out. So I do not listen to news ever. Like if it's on, I'll turn it over. Like again, everybody's different. I don't need to know what's going on. I just need to know what's happening in the moment. And as long as me and my children and my family are safe, and you know, my husband likes to tell me what's going on, of course, and I'm aware, but I don't focus on that because a lot of it is negative. So I cut that out. I was like, I'm not listening to it anymore. The people in my life that I like to call energy vampires, I limited my time with these people, and I started putting myself, like you've just said, in situations with people around me who got it. Because just like you said, I'm the only person in my family that has a business. and I didn't know anyone. It was a very much like you go, you do well at school, you get a job, you get paid. It was kind of conditioned to do these things. And for me, I don't like working for somebody else because I'm a multi-passionate person. I want to do things my way. My way is faster. And I just think I can't believe into that. And it's kind of like I've broke that cycle now because my kids see, oh, well, mum does this and this is different and I can do anything I want to do. So I think the environment is huge. And believe me, I'm not perfect. Like my neighbours will probably say she's always screaming at her kids, but I do tell them 20 times. But I think having that somebody around you that is different just gives you a different lease in life. And I think everybody needs that somebody.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I felt myself totally reflected in every word that you said. I was like, oh my gosh, me and Gemma are the same person. It's wild. You were talking about, you know, eliminating the things that you called energy vampires or dramatic things that were going on in your life, like the news. Yeah. And I did exactly the same thing. I was like, I don't want to listen to the news. I always feel heavy and like drained after I watch the news. Why would I want to watch it? Or the anxiety. Like I have anxiety and I've suffered with really severe anxiety earlier in my life, and every time I would watch the news I could just like feel my anxiety like creeping up my chest into like my neck, and oh my gosh, you know, obviously it's not even safe to go outside or take my kids to the park. And I can totally relate to that, so I cut all of that out too. And then dramatic series, I used to love watching. In the US it was like Law and Order and like these really dramatic shows and severe things that have happening, murders, sexual assault. And I don't know why I enjoyed watching that. And I just like, okay, I'm done with that. We're done. Take that out. And it's amazing. If you're not constantly fed that information, then your life outlook is completely changes just by making two choices. And you haven't even worked that hard yet. And I do have to admit, I still love reality TV, but I love it for a different reason. It's because, and it's not just like straight reality TV. On Netflix, I don't know what you guys have over in the UK, but we have like Selling Sunset, those types of ones. And for me, it motivates me because I like to see people's drive. Or how hard they really have to work, or because I'm like, okay, I need that motivation sometimes and be like, you know, they're kicking ass over there. And I'm going to take on that too. And sometimes you just need like a little power push. Yeah. And for me just now, because I took a kind of a slower morning this morning because I've been going super hard all week, and I started watching on Netflix Match Point, which was about tennis and something I would not normally watch, but I was interested in it because it talks a lot about the psychology of the players and how they've had to build up this resilience over time. And I think that's something to be admired, that professional athletes, I have, yes, lots of things to say about them, and they make a lot of money and all of those things, but they also have incredible mental resilience.
Definitely.
They have trained for decades to get to the place that they're at, and they've endured physical pain, injuries, mental setbacks, they've endured bullying online, you know, their lives, and the sport that they play in, and every single match that they play is broadcasted to the world. And every single person and their mother and their dog have something to say about it. And so I get inspiration by seeing how much they really have to push back or alleviate all of the chaos going on and, you know, focus on the resilience. Like I have to push forward, you know, my game is here. My path is this. And I think that's something to be admired.
Yeah, definitely. And I totally like one of the when it comes to sport and mindset and visualization, like you guarantee that people that have won these big medals and that they've saw that before they've achieved that, because yes. The brain doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's not. It just knows what you show it and present to it. And visualization is so powerful. And you're right. And I think this is the difference. Like a lot of people don't really know, like when I say mindset, it's quite broad. It's basically how your mind is set. And a lot of the other stuff comes underneath how your mind is set. And they spend a lot of time doing the work. And when I say doing the work, it's doing these practices, it's meditating, it's visualization, it's pushing through, it's telling themselves positive things, it's reaffirming things. And a lot of people sadly don't do that because they see it as too hard, or they think, oh, this isn't working, I'm just going to stop, it's not working. But it's always working. And I want to be the person that says, do you know what, when you're wanting to change your life and you're wanting to make that decision, it's not easy. Like you hear this stuff on the online world, like having a business is easy and you can do this 100K in a day and all these things. And I'm like, what is this stuff? And again, that's programming. So people will have the negative concept of, well, what I'm doing isn't right. I'm not good enough for this. And do you know what? Going through the healing stage is hard. It's uncomfortable. Like it really is. And I think people need to be made aware of that. It takes dedication, but you're worth it. And once you push through, like life is completely different on the other side.
That is so, so true. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've mentioned throughout different episodes, I have also attended therapy for 2 years every day to get through some of the things that I was going through in my life. And when I went in, I remember the therapist asking me, why are you here? What do you want? And I had given her an answer, and it was a very much like I had to accept the situation that was never going to change, and there was never going to be another option, and that was just simply the way it was. And she decided to work with me anyway, regardless of my terrible mindset I had at the time. And my very sheer honesty of like, I can't do anything about this. I have done everything I've tried to do and I have no power. I was completely disempowered. And when you say that your life is totally different on the other side of that line is incredibly true. Yeah. The person that I am today is not at all the person I was 5 years ago. Yeah. 6 years ago. And I have worked so hard on developing into this new person. And it started by going into that counseling room and admitting that I didn't feel I had any power or any choices. And then going through the whole process. And you mentioned that the healing process is painful. And this is absolutely the truth. It is not like easy breezy. You don't go just into counseling and just like, I've had 5 sessions and we're done now and I feel magnificent. Like that doesn't exist. And it is hard work. And one of the things my counselor said is like, this might get a lot worse before it gets better. Yeah. And because like you said at the beginning, everything is back to the surface and everything is sensitive and you feel totally out of balance and you feel, you know, you're triggered by because like your husband got home 10 minutes later than normal and you just like everything falls apart after that. And I think it is so important for people to realize that a healing journey is just that, is that it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of dedication. There's going to be times when it's not easy, but it's worth it. Because when, and you're worth it, just like you just said, the person that you become and the people that you inspire afterwards is life-changing.
Definitely. And I always think like, it's not just set in stone, like things. So I went through this phase in my life and I think it was the first year or 2 years and everything was just, oh my goodness, incredible. And I felt that like I was on a cloud. I was on cloud nine and everything's amazing. And, you know, I was in this little bubble and then something happened which re-triggered things. Like I lost my dog And I'm not like, oh my God, animals are incredible. I love them so much. I do love them. I think they're amazing, but I'm not that kind of person. And I'd never, ever thought that when I'd lose my dog, which was a massive shock and traumatic event, I would feel the way I did. And oh, it took me right back. It took me right back. It was like the universe come punch me in the stomach and said, here we are again, sit down. So again, I had to go through this journey, healing journey, because a lot of new things came up. And I love the quote, new level, new devil. And that came up and my business was growing and all of this kind of knocked me down on the floor again. So I had to go back to basics and I had to get therapy and I had to do all of these things. And still to this day, like I don't want people to perceive that people are fully healed forever for the rest of your life, because even now to this day I still have a coach, I have a therapist, I have people that I come back to when I need that support, because I'm a human being. And if I could just look at myself now and how I approach things to when I did back then, it's a completely different way. And it's like I'm excited that I'm going through this journey again, because I'm like, I can't wait to get to the other side, because I know what's there. I know that when I get to that other side, I know. I literally shared a picture the other day and it actually said on my Instagram, things have been a little bit tricky for me recently. I believe there's always more healing to do and I can't wait to see the other side. So that was interesting. Oh, that's yes. Today again. So yeah, I just want to normalize that for people.
I think that's really important. Yeah. Is that you hit it right on the nail, that you're not just one and done and you're healed and it never happens. You're never triggered again in your life, because that's not true. But what the truth is that when you've done the work to develop strategies and methodology of how to handle that situation or how to recognize in your body that that situation is existing before it gets completely out of control. And that is life changing. And so when you are re-triggered again in the future, then you know it. Your body is telling you, and you can actually listen to those signs in your body and say, okay, yeah, body, I hear you. And I'm going to have to do something different, or I know what's going to happen.
Yes.
And then after you get in a routine of actually healing and fixing yourself and using the strategies that you've been taught, then you begin to build more confidence and more belief in yourself. Like, okay, yeah, I could be re-triggered, but I can get myself back on track. Yeah. And if there are situations that really, really trigger you or life-changing, like the loss of a parent or a child or something like that, then you also know this is something I can't handle.
Yeah.
You realize that what you can and you can't handle, and I need outside help, and that's okay, because I've done it before and I know what it's going to be like and I know I can get past this.
Definitely, 100%. And I think, yeah, it's really important that people understand that. And again, a way that you can become aware of this is, for me, how I noticed was my habits. I started to develop the eating habits. Like I did before, it was the emotional eating, it was the eating, I weren't even hungry. So for me in that moment, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Let's have a look at this. Obviously it's different for everybody else. It could be that you are constantly feeling down, or you're drinking or gambling or whatever that thing is that somebody has. Once you start to notice the habits that are creeping back in, that's the time to be like, right, we need to work on this.
Yes. And for me, it's physical pain. Yeah. So my anxiety and my stress manifest in physical pain. So when that area of my body starts getting really out of whack, or I can't sleep, or I'm constantly in pain, I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't walk. I'm like, all right, body, you're giving me signals. Like, I need to listen, or this is going to get a lot worse. And so just like you said, it could be eating habits, gambling, drinking, physical things, you know, even your reaction time with your children.
Yeah. Snap
all of a sudden and then you think at night after they're asleep, it's like, why did I snap at them today? And then that's when you have strategies that you have been taught or learned throughout your life to handle these situations, then you realize like, okay, Yeah, it's time for me to reanalyze myself, go back to the basics, and think about this again.
Definitely. And I think this is the key thing as well that got me into what I do today. So, as of next month, I will be a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm an energy therapist. I have all the tools. And the reason that I've done so many things is because I've probably got ADHD, but also because the things that worked for me when I first started, and then I had that setback, them things didn't work for me anymore because it was a deeper rooted thing. So it was, even though that time was probably the most traumatic or whatever, this actually came with a lot of new different things. And what I was seeing with the women that I was working with, although I'm trained in counseling, I don't practice as a counselor. So I was having to, as a mindset coach, then pass them on to somebody else and refer them to somebody else because although I could help them, obviously logistically I couldn't. So I was like, oh, I could really help these women. So I need to look at new ways. So then I started to train in different things so that I could help them on a deeper level, because sometimes you just need to tweak it. It's like business. Literally, some things worked for a long time and then they change and you need to tweak it and move with it because we evolve.
Yes, exactly. We're always evolving, always changing, and we have to accept that also, that we're not going to be the same as we were 3 years ago or 10 years ago, and we're not going to be the same as we are right now in 3 or 4 years. We're always evolving and taking that on as a good thing. Like, I'm evolving so that I become the best version of myself. A lot about the mindset around that. And Gemma, I would like to ask you just one last question before we go, because this conversation has been fantastic, and I know that all of my listeners are going to love it. Is what advice would you give to someone who is trying to find their path in life?
Oh, I would say go on a YouTube, I know this sounds ridiculous, but go on YouTube and find a meditation that helps you engage your subconscious mind into what you actually want. Because the first step to anyone changing absolutely anything is having clarity and a vision on what they want. And when I mean that, I want, like, you could even journal, like digging deep. What do I truly want? We're not thinking what you should have. We want to engage your values as a person to what it is that you want. So, for example, I know through journaling and meditation that my values are fun, passion, freedom, and love. They're my values. So if I am not having fun, passion, freedom, and love in all areas of my life, and of course I might not be able to have all of them all the time, but if there's not some aspect of my values in my life, I'm not in alignment. So in order to get in alignment, you have to dig deep to that. So what is it that you, what's important to you? And again, like, a lot of people may say family's important to me because they should say that, but actually it might not be. Yes, they might love the family and of course have children, but if that's not a core value of theirs, they're just saying it for the sake of it. So dig deep into what you want, who you are, and actually accept all parts of you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because that's who you are. And I think once you can do that and kind of have this vision, goal, clarity on where you want to go, that's the basis to everything. Because once you have that, the things will come up like, well, why can't I have this? Oh, because of this or this or this programming. So once you've got that foundation, I think everything else grows from that.
Oh, that's fantastic advice. Thank you so much. And that's really important that we sit down and take a step back and learn what our values are and learn about the things that actually drive us, not the things we think should or think do. And we actually dig down deep and figure out, like you said, you were about fun and freedom and the other two that you mentioned. I think that's so important. And I read a book, and it was about like a series of questions, kind of identifying what were your true values and how did you rank these things when you went through this list of words about what values that typically occur in people's lives. And for me, one of them was family. And I've always known that. And I always hold it very close. And for me, it's not just what people say or, oh, it should be at the top of your list. It's like every decision I make, I consider through the lenses of how does it affect my family? And that's how I know that that's one of my values. And yet when I did it with my husband, family didn't, hit on his core values. And people think, oh, that's terrible, but it's not. It's just learning how to interact with each other appropriately. Because for me, I'm always thinking through that lens. And another thing that's important is that you're always viewing other people through that lens.
Yeah.
So like my husband or brothers, sisters-in-laws, brothers, sisters, family members, is I'm always thinking like, why are you making this decision? Because it's affecting your family. And that's something I have to watch out for, because then I'm being judgmental for what my values are and not letting them be free in their own values.
Definitely. And that's so true. We instantly automatically judge based on what we perceive should be the right way, and there really isn't. And when you can dip into them values and live your life by them, that is just a game changer. And like I said, it's not always perfect. Like, freedom's one of mine. I've got 4 children and my husband work away. Like, I'm not always free, but I make sure that each month I am free because I need that time to rest and, you know, recuperate. And I think, yeah, as long as you've got some ounce of that in the areas of life, it's so important.
Absolutely. Gemma, thank you so much for coming on to Step Into Your Sunshine today. You have been an absolute blast. I have loved having this conversation, and I feel like we are perfectly in alignment.
Yes. Definitely. And I loved being here. Thank you so much for having me.
For all of our listeners, we have new episodes coming to you every Monday and Thursday, 8 p.m. UTC time, 7 p.m. UK time, and 1 p.m. US Central Standard Time. I can't wait to talk to you guys soon.